Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The impress press on falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press-on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress, that's I-M-P-R-E-S-S beauty.com/Los Angeles, and then use our code Los Angeles at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kirby.
Welcome to Los Angeles. Hi, guys. So if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, please do and leave us a review while you're at it. Also, you can listen to us on Stitcher and Spotify, as well as all major podcast platforms.
And we are also on all of the socials, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our Instagram is @Los_Angeles. Our Facebook group is Los Angeles. Just search for us, answer a few little questions, and then join the group. And then follow us on our Twitter @LosAngelesPod.
Okay, guys, so I don't know if you can tell from our voices, but we're very excited because today is a very special episode. We have a major Los Angeles guest joining us today.
Major.
You know her from one of the best Netflix shows on the network's history. She is a style icon. She's an award show red carpet legendary. And aside from acting, she's done some incredibly important work as an activist fighting for equality on behalf of the LGBTQ plus community. Please help us welcome Laverne Cox.
Woo! Oh my God, I feel like I have to live up to that incredible introduction.
Oh
thank
my gosh.
You.
Well, there's more.
Yeah. We're like, now you have to sit here while we compliment you for one more minute.
She is an Emmy-nominated actress, Emmy-winning documentary film producer, SAG Award winner, and an equal rights advocate and activist. You've seen her work in Orange is the New Black, Doubt, The Mindy Project, Dear White People, most recently a Black Lady sketch show, and soon in Jolt with Kate Beckinsale. She's the first openly transgender person to appear on the covers of Time, Cosmo, and Essence, to name a few, and has been the face of countless campaigns, including Beyoncé's Ivy Park line. And Laverne is on our show today to chat about a new, very important partnership, and we couldn't be more thrilled to have her on.
Yay!
So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Wow, thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Of course. You've worked so hard for it. We have to, you know, take the time to give you some kudos.
It reminds me of how busy I've been in the past 6 years.
You're like, I'm ready for a vacation.
It's noted.
I need to plan a vacation, yes, for sure.
Okay, Laverne, so every episode, we kick things off by talking about one beauty product that is on our face, and the segment is called
What's on your face?
So we're going to start just to show you how it works. So Sarah, what's on your face?
Okay. So Kirby and I went to a La Mer dinner last night, and they are
fancy.
Yeah, I know.
It was
real fancy. They're relaunching their regenerating serum, which came out 10 years ago, but she's got a new formula, updated version. They have a new proprietary blend, which is their metabolic ferment, which I can't explain to you the science behind it, but I will tell you that it's supposed to help boost your natural collagen more and help make your skin look firmer. Not that you need it, because we're going to dive into what you're doing with your skin, because you look incredible.
Yes.
And it's supposed to help with redness, inflammation, make your skin feel firmer. And then with the Miracle Broth, it's supposed to help protect against environmental stressors. So pollution, bad vibes,
yeah,
all those things.
Totally. And, you know, this it's been around for
right.
a while. They're just reformulating the
exactly.
serum. So I can't wait to try it.
I'm a fan. Kim Kardashian's a fan.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So is it on your face right now?
It's on my face right now. I used
so
it last
is it
night.
Like you put it on like before makeup?
Yes.
Or?
So okay. it's like a lotion serum. It's a thicker than like a regular serum. So you're supposed to put it underneath your moisturizer. But I like it so far. So check in with me in 30 days.
Okay, great.
Nice.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Kirby, what's on your face?
Okay, so House Laboratories launched Lady Gaga's
yes.
brand. Okay.
We put went, your paws up.
Yeah. Monsters, put your paws up. So we went to the launch party on Monday.
Amazing. I saw it all over my Instagram. I was
right?
like, why am I not there? Because I had was somewhere else.
Yeah.
I had plans.
Yeah, and she would have wanted
she
you to be there.
She would have to have you there. But honestly, it was one of the best launch parties I think I've ever been a part of. And
yeah.
what's on my face is I'm actually wearing her liquid liner. It's called Eyeliner, because she said that makeup is a lie we all want to believe and wish that we actually looked like. So I thought
I
that
love
was
Lady
cute.
Gaga. Makeup is a lie we tell ourselves that we all want to believe.
Yes.
Is that what she said?
Yes.
Yes, Gaga.
I know. Isn't she the best? So
I live for Lady Gaga. I think I will never stop living for Lady Gaga. I just thank you, Gaga.
Yeah, we're gonna like
congrats Gaga. That's so mage.
Yeah. So she makes this amazing liquid eyeliner. It's super matte, super black, and very fluid. So if you're ever doing like a winged liner, you know how difficult it is.
Yeah.
But she also did a collaboration with this brand called Face Lace, and she made these little stickers. So my wing right here is a sticker.
Oh,
I could peel it right off for you.
Oh my god!
But I'm not going to, because you know
okay.
I don't want to. I don't want to mess
with
it.
It comes in different shapes and sizes, and you can also cut them.
So you just take it off and stick it on.
Stick it right on. I wore them yesterday. Lasted like 18 hours, basically.
Amazing.
It was fabulous. And so what I do is I put them on. I get them right. My eyes are not perfectly symmetrical. They're sisters, not twins. So
no people's eyes are. I don't think.
So I adjust them, and then I use the eyeliner to connect them on my actual lash line. And I took a video on my Instagram and showed me peeling it off at the end of the night, and people were freaking out. And so I think it's kind of genius, because, you know, Gaga, she loves to play with shapes. She loves to play with masks and stuff. So this is like a way that you can kind of wear a mask-like product every single day.
It's also like easy cleanup. Just take it off at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about getting them equal on each
and
side.
And eyeliner, too. Taking off eyeliner, it can get in your eyes and get on your contact lens.
Totally.
Wow, it's kind of genius, actually. Work, Gaga.
So, Laverne, what is on your face?
Okay, so I did not do my own makeup today because it's a work day, so I have people do it. And Deja Smith, I have amazing makeup artists that I work with, but Deja is like my OG. We've been together for 6 years now, and she's so busy. She's now an Emmy-nominated makeup artist. She got an Emmy nomination for her work on Pose, and so it's hard to get her. But I got her today, and she used this lip gloss called Votre Nuit. It's a lip luster in All Night Long. Apparently that is the, Votre Nuit, I guess, is the brand.
It looks beautiful.
Thank you. So that is what is on. There's a bunch of things on my face right now. But that is one thing I'll talk about, because it's red, and we're here talking about the collaboration with Band-Aid and Red, and I'm so excited about that. So Votre Nuit. And Votre Nuit is just a lovely, I love French, so.
And it's like, it's a gloss, right?
Yes.
So it's like, it, you know, makes your lips even look more, like more plump. Mm-hmm. The red isn't too stark, though. Like, it's just, it almost looks like a stain. It's really
and it's not sticky. And I don't know if we've worn this brand before, because I don't always ask Deja what I'm wearing. But like a lot of times lip glosses get sticky and like they get caught in my hair. Like, so I don't like gloss a lot. And I was like, and Deja said, we're going to do glossy. I was like, oh, even when I have short hair, it can get stuck in my hair and then it like drags the gloss. So this isn't sticky and I don't feel like it's going to get caught. My hair is going to get caught. So it's like it's moisturizing, because sometimes to be honest with you, I don't actually like wearing lipstick. So I wear lipstick for work when I have to, but I don't like the feeling of a lipstick. But there's certain brands that are very moisturizing. This is was a few, and I'm shouting out brands who are not paying me, but there's a few brands.
Yeah. Keeping it real over here. We love
keeping
it.
Really real. But no, there's a lot of lipstick just feels, I just don't like the way it feels on me. It doesn't feel moisturizing. And it just feels like I just want to get it off. That's like the first thing I take off. And I'll literally like be done with my day of work and I'll take my lipstick off and keep the rest of my face on, but I just don't want anything on my lips.
Right.
And honestly, I feel like whatever this is, I've never heard of it before. Tayshia just put it on my list. It doesn't feel that way. It feels like, I love like something that feels like a moisturizer on my lips.
Mm-hmm.
And this so far feels that way.
Yeah, it looks like it's like a balmy gloss, like a mix between the two, and it just it looks amazing.
Sarah's so good at wearing lipstick. I'm similar to you. I'll do a gloss sometimes, but I don't really like wearing a lot of lipstick on my lips. But Pat McGrath Labs actually makes an amazing lip balm.
That was the brand I was going to mention.
Sorry, Laverne.
But I was like, no. It's like, I don't, when Deja used it on me, she used the lipstick on me, and I was like, this feels like lip balm.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, I don't know
and
how.
And it looks like a lipstick, so you still kind of have this luxe moment of, she applied it to you, but like.
The packaging is insane.
The bullet's gorgeous.
It's like a revelation what Pat McGrath is doing, because the lipstick is amazing, but then like the eyeshadows are gorgeous, and like the foundation, everything is like really on point. And I think too, because sometimes like I have people do my makeup a lot, and I don't ask what they're using. I don't
totally.
Like sometimes, like, because I'm trying to get better at doing my own makeup, so I'll ask like what this foundation is. I'm a stickler with skin, and so, and getting that right on myself is still a work in progress, so I'll ask about that. But I don't often ask about, oh, what's the lipstick or what's the list. But when she put the lipstick on, I was like, oh my god, what is this? Because it didn't feel like lipstick. And the eyeshadows, I mean, if you just follow Pat on Instagram, it's like the eyeshadows,
it's
so
mesmerizing to watch.
Pigmented, and it's just, it's like, it feels like there's a revolution or something going on with her company. It's just so.
There is a revolution.
What's brilliant is that she's this legendary makeup artist who's been doing it for so long and has really, and a lot of people have makeup lines out, but she really, it's just so exciting that she's doing so well. And it's so good.
Yeah.
What she's doing is so
a
good.
$1 billion. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. She's been around forever, decades. You know, when she talks, people listen. And it's because she has that authority. We're huge fans of Mother. We love her. Huge. We call her Mother.
You call her Mother. Hi, Pat. And this is like, no one's telling us to say this, but it's just that it's just so good.
Yep.
It's really good. Congratulations, Pat. You have, I don't know what she does to that lipstick. That's insane. Because I don't like lipstick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, girl. I'm like, work.
More. Okay, so you actually touched on this.
Yes, but we want to dive into it a little bit deeper, obviously. For beauty news, we have a segment where we, touch on what's happening in the beauty world. And we want to talk about your partnership with Band-Aid. So can you tell us how this came to be and what it's all about?
Well, so Band-Aid has partnered with Red, and Red has been, as many of you know, has been involved since 2006 with partnering with different brands in the HIV AIDS epidemic globally, specifically in sub-Saharan Africa. They partnered with the Global Fund to provide money and for prevention, for care, etc. And so Red has partnered with Band-Aid, and they created these really dope, I'm wearing one of them, these really dope Band-Aids. We have Band-Aids in our medicine cabinets anyway, I know I do. We all have Band-Aids, right? And we use them, and they're synonymous with caring for ourselves and caring for each other. And so a Band-Aid is collaborating with Red to create these incredible Red Band-Aids that are pretty chic, I think.
Yeah.
And you buy a box of Red Band-Aids at your CVS, and that purchase can go towards a day's worth of medication for someone who's living with HIV and AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa. What the Global Fund does is they fund these incredible organizations that deal with prevention, education, providing medication for people who are living with HIV and prevention as well in sub-Saharan Africa. So what is so exciting for me, there's a lot of things that are exciting for me about this, is that one of the things is that HIV AIDS has impacted my life in a really significant way. I've had friends I have many friends who are HIV positive, who are living with a diagnosis today, and they're incredible people, still face a lot of stigma around that, but they're awesome people, and I just wanted to do something to celebrate them and just let them know I love them and support them. And I've lost friends and family friends to HIV AIDS, and there's not ever enough that we can really do until this disease has ended. I've dear friend of mine many years ago. We found out they were in the hospital and we were like, what's going on? And we found out, we didn't know until after they died that they had HIV, that they had AIDS. And they didn't want anyone to know. And so they didn't seek treatment because of the stigma. Mm-hmm. They didn't want folks to just think, you know, think horrible things about them. So they didn't go and get treated and they ended up dying. And you don't have to die from HIV anymore. It is not a death sentence, but you have to have access to medication. And then you have to be able to get over the stigma enough to go and get tested and get treatment if there is access. So the wonderful thing about what RED is doing and now in partnership with Band-Aid is that for all of us who in the world right now who think that there's so many horrible, awful things going on and we don't know what to do and we feel hopeless, there's something we can do about this.
Yeah.
There is something we can do right now. We can just go and buy a box of RED Band-Aids at CVS and make a difference in the lives of people in sub-Saharan Africa. We can work to end this together. We can band together. Hashtag band together.
Aww.
What we're doing is encouraging people to, once they purchase their RED Band-Aids at CVS, is to take a lovely selfie of yourself. I'm doing it later. We've already taken some pictures. We're going to take some more.
Yeah.
And take your picture, post it on Instagram or social media and say hashtag with hashtag band together and encourage your friends and family to do it as well. And we can start a thing. And for me, it's important to not just post, but if you can start a conversation with the people in your lives, with your friends, with your family about what they think about HIV AIDS. Now, a lot of people don't know that if a person who is HIV positive is on their medication, their viral load is undetectable, that it is nearly impossible to transmit that virus to someone that they are in a relationship with, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that. And so just knowing that can begin to lift some of that stigma around HIV AIDS. And then thinking critically too about some of the language we use. A dear friend of mine years ago, who is HIV positive and a brilliant AIDS activist, we were having a conversation and he said to me, you know, even the language of like, you know, people on dating apps, like, are you clean or whatever? And like, even that language is like, are you clean? Does that mean someone who has HIV is dirty?
Right.
So that even thinking, it's not about being politically correct or censoring language, but how do we have a different conversation with it so we can lift the stigma so that people will go and get tested and not feel ashamed about a diagnosis and get the help that they need. And then for the people who are out there, there are over 30 million people living with HIV in the world right now.
Yeah.
And so for those 30 million people, they should not have a stigma attached to that diagnosis. We don't stigmatize people with cancer.
Right.
Yep.
So we should stop doing that with HIV and AIDS.
Okay. So everyone go to your CVS, clear out the shelves.
Everyone needs a Band-Aid.
Share them with your friends, start a conversation, and then wear them as chicly as Laverne is, which you can't see what she's or how she's wearing it, but she has it on her arm.
Yes.
Matches her lovely red blazer.
Thank you.
I have a feeling we're going home with some.
Yeah, like
so
all over underneath.
We'll be able to
like Nelly style.
Show off on the gram. But thank you, Laverne, for using your platform to talk about this. You know, it's like buying these it's a no-brainer in my opinion. Go buy the Band-Aids. Help someone that desperately needs it.
You're going to need Band-Aids anyway.
Absolutely. Yes.
And Band-Aids are synonymous with caring for yourself and caring for others.
I love
that. Right? There's so many moments in my life where I've, you know, we've had a Band-Aid. You know, I was two ex-boyfriends ago. we were getting into a cab in New York City and the cab like backed up and backed over the heel of his of his foot. And he screams and like this, he was Canadian and super mild mannered and he starts screaming at the cab driver and cursing at him. And I was just like, I had never seen him this angry.
Yeah.
And he was like, the cab just ran over my heel. I was like, oh my God, are you okay? And then I was like, do we need to go to the emergency room? He's like, he was still walking. He was fine. So we get home and like, I disinfected and I put a couple Band-Aids on it. 'Cause it was like, you know, it was amazing that it wasn't worse, but it's just this thing that we do in our lives, right?
Totally.
We, you know, someone needs something, we put a Band-Aid on it, you know? And so we can do that by, you know, we can purchase our RED Band-Aids and then we can be putting Band-Aids on this disease and this virus in sub-Saharan Africa for a lot of people, which is pretty amazing.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you. We're so excited that you're, like I said earlier, using your platform to discuss this. And like you said, you know, erase the stigma. That's like talking about it makes it more of a common conversation and we're not having to worry about the stigma that's still around it. So thank you so much for talking to us about it.
Absolutely.
So now we're going to dive in to, you know, we sat down and thought about, okay, we have Laverne Cox. Like, what
are we going to talk about?
Like, This is a loaded question. Like, how do we get everything we want to ask her into this time slot? But we're going to do it. We're both just really big fans of yours. And so, you know, we were talking to somebody downstairs and, you know, Laverne looks so amazing. Like, we can't wait to ask her her skincare secrets. And then they said, oh, yeah. And like, she was talking about how old she is. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, you're 47. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
I can't believe that, like, I didn't, a year ago, I would have, like, gone into convulsions if someone like said that to my face, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm 47.
The only reason I'm even bringing it up, because I would never, is they were saying how confident you are in saying that, and truly I feel like I've been living under a rock, because I was like,
yeah,
Laverne's 32, I'm 32, I'm like, Laverne's 32, right? Yeah, like, we grew up together. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, no, I just started talking about my age, and for a while for years, right, I even on dating apps, like, you have to put an age on a dating app, and then I would, like, meet a guy, and, like, I would be like, I'm not the age on my profile. I don't discuss my age. If that's a problem, we don't have to date. I understand. And then, like, some guys needed to know the age, and some guys, you know, were cool with, yeah, we're usually cool with, like, not knowing.
Yeah.
But that's how I would approach it. And then in the media, I never confirmed or denied an age. So we've never confirmed or denied it. And so there's a couple different ages on Google, and I don't know... I really don't know how that happened. And yeah. I talked to my publicist, like, we've never confirmed any age. But then, like, one website had it, and then people started printing, like, my real age. And then I was sort of, like, had all this anxiety about it. And I was just like, I need to free myself of this. And so over a year ago, I started talking to, my therapist about, like, how do I begin to grapple with this. And so I had to start to unpack all of the story I told myself around my age and what it meant. And a lot of the story was, I'm not dateable, I'm not effable, and I'm not hireable over a certain age. And that age was actually 30, right? So since at least 2001, 2002, I've been cagey about my age. That's a really long time.
Wow.
It's a really long time to be, like, you know, over 21. That was my official age. no, for real.
It's hard out here for an actress.
Over 21 was my official age. And literally, the first time the New York Times interviewed me in 2010, they were like, oh, how old are you? And I was like, I'm over 21. And they were like, no, we need to know. And I was like, over 21. It's not about how old I am. It's about how old I can play. Then, like, a few weeks later, they call me and they're like, we're fact checking. And we really need to know how old you are. And I said, I'm over 21. And the article runs, it was an article on this acting class that I was in. And there was a picture of me. And in the caption, it had Laverne Cox, over 21.
That's amazing. That's Wait. What's on your IMDb page?
Yeah.
No, that's not. IMDb has 47, you know, has 1972. Yeah. And so, but no, for a long time, I had this story in my head about sort of being finished after a certain age. And so I needed to, like, I don't like lying, but not, you know, disclose. Mm-hmm. And I had to let that go because my age was sort of out there. There were mixed, you know, some people thought I was 32 and some people, like, then there was different ages. And so I had to, like, make peace with it. And the wonderful thing about it is that owning my age is, like, it's like there's no one. Now when someone says my age, I'm not, like, cringing, and I'm not, like, I'm just like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I really have started thinking about it. Like, if someone is going to, like, years ago, I got to the place with being trans, with particularly with dating or with anything, where I was like, if someone's going to reject me for being trans, I want to know right away. So I would, you know, I meet a guy, and, like, if I didn't feel like it was safe to tell him, like, when I met him and when he texted me or whatever, I'd be like, you know, I'm trans, right? Or sometimes even in the club back in the day, I'd be like, you know, I'm trans, right? And they would know sometimes, and sometimes they wouldn't know, sometimes they'd be fine with me being trans and we still date or whatever. And then sometimes they'd be like, thanks for telling me. And they would move on. And I'm like, if you're going to reject me for my transness, I want to know right now so I don't, like, get attached or whatever. Right. And it's kind of the same thing with the age. If, like people are probably going to find out my age eventually. If, like, I'm in a relationship with them or if I'm in a job with them, they're probably going to find out. And so if they're going to reject me, then, you know, I can say that now, you know, because I get to be a working actress for however long I get to work. But there's anxiety about being, you know, 47 and being in Hollywood and all the things that the difficulties that we hear about with being over 40 and working. But there's so many amazing women now who are so inspiring to me. Angela Bassett is 60 years old.
Yep.
Yes. And is arguably having the, like, moment of her career. She's, like, at the height of her career now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about her, and I think the times have caught up with Angela Bassett. Mm-hmm. Angela Bassett was sort of ahead of her time, and now It's 60. How isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
So beautiful.
I see her and I'm just like, yes. And Viola Davis is in her 50s. Mm-hmm. And just all these amazing women who are changing the game.
Right.
And so, you know.
And by you embracing your age and being confident and showing that to your fans and your followers, it empowers other women as well.
Exactly.
So...
Cool. Well, good. A lot of it right now is about empowering myself. And when I started practicing just on stage, saying my age, you know, mm-hmm. Earlier this year. And the first few times I thought I was going to die, you know, and now it's like it gets easier.
Yeah.
And I think that's with anything that you have shame about, that you have been holding on to, when you speak it and let it go, you take the power away. It no longer has power over me today in this moment, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we'll see what happens in a few years. But in this moment, I mean, I'm 3 years away from 50. Girl.
You look incredible.
I mean,
so.
Like I said earlier, I was just jaw on the floor. So you're doing something right, obviously.
Killing it in your career. Like,
thank you.
But also, you know, Sarah and I, we write about beauty all the time. And for me personally, I'm sure you feel the same way. I love writing about Angela Bassett. I want to write about not only how beautiful she is, but like what she's been doing to take mm-hmm. care of herself. You know what I mean? Because like that's effort too. And giving my mom, especially, my mom's 61, and she feels alienated in this industry. You know what I mean? She feels like, you know, they're catering to people that are either super, super young or like this millennial, old millennial title. And she's,
what is old millennial? How
so
old
apparently, if you're born like after 80, it's like 86 to 92 is considered old millennial. I'm 86,
so us,
you're 87.
We're old.
So I'm like, okay, whatever. Another word to make women feel bad about themselves, right? But, you know, my mom talks about that a lot, how she feels alienated. But then when I write about an Angela Bassett, these women that were so
Christy Brinkley.
Yeah. Wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, you know, these women
and Cindy Crawford.
Yeah, and they talk about their age. My mom's like, you know what? I'm proud of that. I'm proud that I've lived this long. I'm proud that I have, you know, a family. I'm proud that I've worked my butt off to get to where I am. So
it is a badge of honor to still be on the planet, you know,
and to
hopefully have learned something. And the wonderful thing about being my age is that I have learned something in this time. I just haven't been dilly-dallying, if anyone says that anymore, that I've been learning and working on myself. And so I come with so much wisdom and experience, and that's valuable.
Yep.
Totally.
So then to take it a little bit lighter.
Yes.
What would you say is the best skincare tip you've learned over maybe the beginning of your career to now? Is there something that you stick with?
I'm not the person to talk about skincare, I think. Because, you know, the thing is, and the reason is because I think a lot of this is genetic. You know, I moisturize. I keep it really simple. I moisturize and I use an eye cream. I have really I'm really puffy under my eyes. And I kind of always happen. Mm-hmm. And they say as you get older, the sort of fat under here sort of deteriorates or whatever. And that's why people get fillers. I have not had a filler yet.
Girl,
I don't do Botox.
You look amazing.
I'm not opposed. I kind of am opposed to filler for actors, honestly. Like for me, other people can do whatever they want. But I'm going to tell you the story. A year ago, I was like, because I with the puffiness in my eyes, and Deja's amazing at like hiding at my makeup artist. And I was just so frustrated. And I was just like, maybe I should go in. And I went to this doctor that her girlfriend suggested. And I was like, okay, is there something I can do? And I didn't really want to get a filler. And I was like, is there a Botox? So I was like, maybe that's better. And then he was like, filler's really the only way to do it. And he sort of talked me into it. And I was like, okay, let me breathe. And he was just going to give me a very little bit of filler under my eyes. Right. And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, let me just center myself. And I did some deep breathing. I'm meditating now. So I did some deep breathing. And I open my eyes and I run out of the room. I'm like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I swear to you, I'm running out of the guys. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm doing to pay you something. I'm sorry. I wasted your time. And I run out of the office.
That reminds me
I was just so scared that I didn't want to look like, I mean, I'm an actor and it's just
you have to be able to move your face. You have to be able, like a camera is right here. You have to be able to emit emotion in a natural way so it doesn't look like.
I'm not opposed. I'm the last person to judge anyone for anything they want to do to themselves, right? You know, own it, feel it, live it, love it. But it just was like, it's my face. You know?
Yeah.
So I just decided not to. So in terms, as far as skincare, I moisturize. I moisturize in the morning. I moisturize at night. I use an eye cream. cream, and that's about it. I like maybe exfoliate like once a week.
Do you like to get facials at all?
I got a great facial from this place in New York, Tulera, I think they're called. And they have this great like skin serum that I use sometimes, which is great. It's like an oil that's like awesome that doesn't clog your pores. So I like them, and I would probably go to them for a facial again, but like sometimes when they like are sort of in your pores and stuff, mm-hmm. I don't think facials always work. You want to get all the, you know,
totally.
Dirts and oils and stuff out. But then at this stage, I don't think I need facials. I think I'm doing okay. So it's about moisture. And then honestly, this is, you know, take it, people, you know, can take it or leave it. But estrogen has been great for my skin. Like I used to have really bad acne before my medical transition, and estrogen after about 8 months in, like it cleared up and my skin just got like really kind of lovely. Obviously, estrogen is not something everyone can do for various reasons. Talk to your doctor, but estrogen has been really great for my skin. Yeah. And I think some of it is genetic. Mm-hmm. My mom actually has really great skin. I was just looking at my mom's skin. She like had no makeup on. She was just here this weekend. And so I think some of that's genetic. So I think it's just, but it's also about what diet too. I find my skin looks better when I'm not eating sugar and carbs. And so it's like my diet as well. I find my skin is better when I'm, you know, eating better. So that's really what it is for me. And I stay out of the sun. I'm not a sun worshiper. For black folks, the sun doesn't have the same effect in terms of cancer, but it can age you. I've seen beautiful black folks, you know, who spend a lot of time in the sun, and it can age you. Mm-hmm. So I'm very careful about sun exposure.
We're product junkies, so we love, you know, talking about products that work for us. But I don't think in my entire career of reporting on this, I've ever had someone like yourself say, I'm just going to be real. Genetics, I'm not the person to talk about skincare.
Some moisturizer?
Yeah.
No facials.
And, you know, no facials. Like, I love that you're being real about, you know, I changed my diet. It helps a little bit, estrogen. So thanks for being so transparent about that.
And there's an industry. I know this is what you do, but there's a whole industry that wants to sell you things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I feel like they just make up stuff to sell you. Sometimes it's really about, I mean, what is the overall health? Because when I think about skincare, it's like, what is the overall sort of holistic approach to how I'm living my life?
Yep.
What are the water we're drinking and like heavy metals and all these kinds of things that we're putting in our bodies? What's in the food that we're eating? And so though all of these things are contributing to the health of our skin, how we age or don't age, you know, and then there's a lot of it's genetic as well. Mm-hmm. And so being in a space, I mean, with being okay, you know, I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm in a space now where I'm like embracing my age and I'm like really happy, but like, I don't know where I'm going to be in 5 years. And when I start, you know, I definitely look older than I did, you know, 15 years ago. And so what I love about the way I'm aging, wow, I don't know how arrogant this is going to sound or not, but I love that I feel like I'm becoming more myself, and like I was a girl then and now I look at myself and I see a grown woman, and I love my grownness. I love that like that is showing in my face and in my body, and that like I've, you know, curvier and all those things. And I love that.
Yeah, oh my gosh, can we get a round of applause? Seriously.
Okay, so you touched on Angela Bassett. And I want to talk to you about, we want to talk to you about A Black Lady Sketch Show. I think all of us have seen that
you
sketch
like the
already.
Third person to ask me about A Black Lady Sketch Show today, which is like, makes me so happy.
It's so good.
It is
and
so
you
good.
Are so incredible in that sketch.
Thank
you. But I really want to know, Kirby and I want to know, what does it mean to be a bad bitch? How can we be a bad bitch?
Yes. Get like help me. Because I feel like
break it down
I'm
for
in the
us.
Basic bitch category, yeah. And I need you to like bring
like,
me to the
I
bad
like
side.
I like sneakers and flats, but you know. Do Angela I need to be wearing heels all the time?
To quote Angela Bassett in A Black Lady Sketch Show, it's okay to be, it's fine to be an okay bitch, but not a basic bitch.
Yeah, see, that's why I'm scared, Laverne. Help me, please.
What does it mean to be a bad bitch to you?
I think in the context of that skit, it's very different.
Right.
True.
That skit is so brilliant. How brilliant is that show?
It's so good.
I love that show so much. Robin and the crew over there.
They're
so brilliant.
Genius.
It's really fully genius. I think being a bad bitch for me, oh my God, it's like, it's about the truth.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's about living in the truth. That's where I'm at this moment, this week, that like every day I have to tell myself something to get myself going. And a lot of it right now is about, it is okay to be where I'm at today, that I'm I woke up the day, why am I being so candid? I'm going to just spill all my tea. That's just where I'm at right now. I woke up the day of the Creative Arts Emmys on this past Sunday, and I was like, I really want to win this Emmy. It's my third time being nominated for an acting Emmy, and I wanted to win. And the other two times I was nominated, I wanted to win, but I was just so happy to be nominated and just so humbled by the, not that I wasn't humbled this time, but like the third time, it's just like, okay, I want to win. And I gave myself permission to say that to the people around me, to my team, to my friends. I was like, I really want to win this. I know the odds are against me that like, I'm in sixth place or whatever, according to the odds makers, but I want to win this. And it's probably not going to happen. And am I going to be okay with that? And so I woke up in that truth, and then I reached out for support around it. And I was like, this is something I really want. I'm not in control about whether it happens or not. Am I going to be okay if it doesn't happen? And I got support through that. And yeah. Honestly, we got into hair and makeup, and my glam team turned me out, and I looked...
You looked so good.
I felt amazing in that Zac Posen dress that I've been coveting for months. And so I went just like... in this joy. And so I arrived at the ceremony just like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I feel great because I was in the truth and I got support around that truth. So if you are not able to tell the truth to yourself first about what you're feeling, you can't get support around it. Mm-hmm. So I was able to speak the truth, and then I was able to reach out and get support around it. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to be okay with the outcome no matter what happened. And I think I felt like a bad bitch at the Creative Arts Emmys.
You should.
Not taking home the statue. Yeah. Because I was in my truth that day. I was in, and I didn't feel bad I was in the truth of what it was. And I was in the truth of what I can control. Mm-hmm. And I think being a bad bitch is being in the truth of who you are, not... another thing I used to have as a mantra for myself that I had on my refrigerator, in my bathroom mirror, in my apartment when I lived in Studio City, was that I will move through life's challenges today and not put my worthiness on the line. Mm. Worthiness is a birthright. And that actually comes from Brené Brown's work.
Oh, love her.
She talks about shame a lot. She was researching on shame, but in her work, she found that there were a group of people who seemed to go through the same challenges as the rest of us, but they didn't do it in a shame-based way, like so many of us do, like I have done my whole life. And she came up with the word for those people. She called them wholehearted people. And she found in her research that wholehearted people, the only thing they do differently than the rest of us is they go through the same challenges that everybody else goes through, but they do it without putting their worthiness on the line. Their worthiness is off the table. So she says that worthiness is a birthright, that we are worthy because we are here. And so we are able to identify the shame triggers by the shame triggers for so many of us is like, I will be worthy when I lose 20 pounds. I'll be worthy when I have a husband or a wife or when I get that promotion. And when we identify the prerequisites for shame, right, that I'm going to be worthy when, then we can begin to say, no. My worthiness is not contingent on if I lose that 20 pounds. I am worthy right now. Mm-hmm. My worthiness is not contingent on if I get that promotion or not. I'm worthy right now. Mm-hmm. And so wholeheartedness is about how we frame our experiences and how we internalize our sense of worth. And so that is something I have to continually work on. The truth piece and not feeling guilty about whatever the truth is or internalizing shame about it. And then like taking my worthiness off the table, that I'm not any less worthy because I've gained 5 pounds or because I didn't win the Emmy or because, the show didn't get picked up or whatever it is, some external thing that is supposed to mean something. I'm worthy because I was born and I am connected to in this moment an energy that is greater than myself. And I allow that energy to speak through me and to guide me. And that's why this day is really special for me, particularly. I'm having so much fun talking to you, but being partnered with Band-Aid and Red, it's so special to me because it's bigger than me. And I think when we connect with something, an energy, a power that is greater than ourselves, and to be of service, that is, it's just the very best feeling. So,
Thanks for taking us to church on that.
That's a bad bitch.
You are an ultimate bad bitch. So yes. We will
that was
follow.
A-
Okay, everything well, that you just told us.
I'm going to be replaying this episode every morning. I'm like, okay, let's meditate.
Can I tell you, I have to replay it in my head. I listen over and over again to Brené Brown audiobooks and speeches and Oprah speeches and all the folks that I look to. Those are the two biggies. My bell hooks, and it's a constant process. It's a practice. This is not something that like, oh, I have the answer now.
Right.
This is something I have to practice on a daily basis because I can forget.
Totally.
We're gonna print your quotes and like plaster it on our wall after this.
I'm getting the tattoo, so don't worry.
Okay. Cool.
Oh my god, do you have tattoos?
No, not yet. It'll be my first.
always
my boyfriend will be happy. He has a whole sleeve, so he's like,
oh my god, I can't be a tattoo.
Best friend,
Los Angeles tattoos together.
Just Laverne Cox quotes up and down.
No bigs.
Oh my god.
Okay, so we are sadly at the end of our pod, but we do have one last question. Mm-hmm. What would you tell your 15-year-old self?
15. When I was 15, I was at the Alabama School of Fine Arts in Birmingham, Alabama. I was studying classical ballet, and I was just starting ballet. I started studying dance when I was in third grade, but not ballet. And so it was so hard, and my body wasn't the ideal body for classical ballet, and it was really hard, and I was so hard on myself. I beat myself up. Like, that became my daily ritual, to sort of stand in the mirror in ballet class and just like pick myself apart. And oh god, that habit dies hard, right? Mm. So I would say to 15-year-old Laverne, beating herself up and just completely not somewhat having a sense of who I was, but really being very, very far away from the truth of who I was, and having been bullied, even in art school, I was bullied. I would say to myself that you are exactly where you're supposed to be right now. This is really hard. You're struggling, but this is all for a bigger reason that you don't understand now, but you'll understand later.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, thank you so much for being on our pod. Are you going to be, you're going to be at the Emmys on Sunday?
I will be at the Emmys on Sunday.
We can't wait to see what you're wearing. And
we'll be cheering
your
you
makeup
on.
Will look like we will be cheering you on.
Thank you.
Is Deja doing your makeup?
She is doing the makeup.
Yay, yes. Deja!
We'll have to hit
We've
up Deja
had so many
this.
Moments. We're going to have to like, we're going to have to bring it for the kids.
Yes.
Yeah,
please.
We're going to have to get Deja on
we
the pod.
We would like to be served
as well.
Yes.
You really should get Deja on the pod.
Yeah.
Deja is such. I'm so blessed. Kaya Wright did my hair today. My glam team is so amazing. They just come with so many ideas and so much creativity. And I thank you to everyone I've gotten to work with. You inspire me and you make me better.
You inspire us. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Laverne. Guys, thank you so much for listening to this interview. I hope you had as much fun as we did. I felt like I was being creepy just staring at Laverne behind this little mic the whole time. Like, beauty, brains, brilliance. Here we go.
Yeah.
Let us know on social how much you loved this interview. Share it with your friends.
Go get your Band-Aids at CVS.
Get your Band-Aids. Everyone has a CVS.
Your red
Band-Aids. They're super cute. Like, put them on your purse or wallet or whatever you have. Even if you don't have a cut, just put them on. Why not?
Nelly.
Oh, yeah. Nelly. Well, Nelly style it. Okay, guys. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.